Coming up at 8:40, we're going to talk to Jerry Jones, and in this segment, we're going to talk about Jerry Jones. It's our first crack at the Cowboys and what's happened in the last 3 weeks. When last we talked to you, it was just prior to the Tampa Bay game, and the Cowboys still had a shot at the playoffs, a very good one, in fact. But then Philadelphia happened, and the Giants game happened. And in that Philadelphia game, we all saw something that, in this reporter's opinion, might be the most ludicrous thing I have ever seen the owner of a professional sports franchise do. And we live in a town with Mark Cuban, who has stormed the court trying to get into fights, breaking up fights, who sits in his team's huddle, who screams endlessly during games. But what Jerry Jones did in that Philadelphia game trumps anything that Cuban's ever done, Hicks has ever done, Jerry himself has ever done. Tony Romo hurts his hand. And in the first quarter, Jerry appears on the sideline. And in his words, quote, "I was bringing Jason Garrett up to date on information I personally had from where our situation was, not only relative to where the Jets were, but also what I knew to be the case from being down there in the dressing room where Tony was being x-rayed." Jerry Jones went down to the sideline to tell his head coach Tony Romo's condition, to pull Felix Jones, to not play Romo anymore, that the Jets were losing. All stuff that Jason Garrett knew and didn't need to hear. If Jerry thought he had to go down and tell Jason Garrett all of that, then he should fire Jason Garrett today. Because what he's saying is Jason Garrett can't coach. He's saying Jason Garrett can't take in information while coaching. He also completely emasculated his head coach in front of his assistant coaches, the rest of the team, and the entire world. Who can respect Jason Garrett now, after Jerry Jones had to go down and babysit him in the first quarter of a game? It was the most ludicrous thing I've ever seen, and I am now convinced that Jerry Jones is not fit to be this team's general manager, quite frankly, this team's owner. I think he has completely lost his marbles, and whatever hope Jason Garrett had going forward was erased in that first quarter when the players look over and see Papa Jerry sitting there trying to teach little bitty Jason how to coach and what he should do. And what can you imagine?
No, I know.
The owner going down. Can you imagine Jerry going up to Jimmy or Bill Parcells and saying, "We need to sit Felix. We don't need to play Tony anymore." By the way,
he'd been chased.
He would have. Yeah. They would have dropped so many F-bombs. Jimmy would have taken a swing at him. Parcells probably would have taken What was Jerry thinking?
You know what? It didn't even faze me because I'm just so used to it. You know, I agree. I thought it was very offensive. I thought it was ridiculous. But it doesn't even faze me anymore. And over the last 2 weeks we've been on vacation, I've grown more and more disgruntled with Jerry. Going back 16, 17 years ago, I used to think, you know, the media just seems so unfair to Jerry because how do they know he's not a football guy? Let's give him a chance here without Jimmy. And then those first couple of years, yeah, he made some wrong decisions, but I just thought you just can't always assume that the guy is wrong. And I don't think now he's necessarily always wrong, but the structure out here, out there with him, and the fact that he just doesn't learn. He didn't learn that, wow, let's see, we won when I had a guy who knew personnel and a front office that spent so much time on it. You know, Jimmy also had, you know, Bob Ackles, who was a very good personnel guy. When Parcells was here, great personnel guy. You may not always agree with what he did, but aren't the Cowboys still kind of living off what Bill Parcells put on this team a few years back? I mean,
sure.
There's been a couple of guys who've been Sean Lee, DeMarco Murray. Yeah, there's a few guys here and there. But basically, you're living off of what Bill Parcells built here. And there was the comment made that while Parcells was here, someone at Valley Ranch told me, yeah, I'm just trying to teach Jerry all I can so when I leave, he can still do this. He didn't learn.
No.
He didn't learn any of that and any of the structure. And it's We're back to the post Super Bowl late 90s, and I'm telling you, the next few years, maybe not next year, but the year after that, you're headed towards 5-11 again.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I'd like to examine the psychology behind Jerry going down to the sideline in the first quarter to tell his head coach what to do, because that fascinates me. What prompted that? Number one, he doesn't trust his head coach further than he can throw him. And we've seen that this year when Garrett's lost and doesn't know when to take a timeout and Jerry's screaming in the booth, timeout. Do you think that Jerry does not trust Jason Garrett? Because that's what that screams.
Yes, and there's part of the Jerry that loves playing the part of football guy. He really did know maybe a few things that Jason didn't know. Like, I can't even remember the timing of it. That game was not over when the game started, was it?
Jets-Giants game? No, it ended a few minutes into the start of the Cowboys game. Yeah. Okay, so Garrett may not have known that, but you know what you do if you're Jerry? You send some spare down there.
Or you get on your headset.
Yeah. You don't go down there personally. That attracts all sorts of the wrong attention.
Right. You get that message to the sideline without carrying it personally.
Or the other option, the other alternative behind the psychology is Jerry is so egomaniacal that he needs everybody to know that he's running it.
Yeah.
From Garrett to the assistant coaches to the players to all the fans, he needs everybody to know that he's in charge. But on something like that, why would he feel the need there? That's such an in-game decision for your coach. I don't understand what possessed him to go down there.
Well, you know what it is, the reality of it, and this has really hit me while we were on vacation, and we've hinted around at it for a couple of years. But Jerry has morphed into Al Davis.
Yes, he absolutely has.
He's basically Al Davis, and that's horrible for the Cowboy fan. You may catch lightning in a bottle once every decade or something, but not. And I'm not talking 60s and 70s Al Davis. I'm talking crazy Al Davis.
But did crazy Al Davis ever go down to the sidelines in the first quarter to tell his coaches to rest someone or to do? I don't recall that.
I don't recall it.
I think Jerry's even gone beyond Al Davis. It's my opinion, my very humble opinion, that Jerry Jones is in desperate need, and I'm serious about this, he is in desperate need of an intervention. I think Stephen, Charlotte, Jerry Jr., Gene, Roosevelt, Freezy, and Lacey need to get in a room with the A&E crew, Jeff Van Vonderen or Candy Finnegan, and they need to have an intervention. And they lead Jerry into the room under the guise that he's doing an interview for NFL Films about his legacy. Then he goes into the room, and he's greeted by all of those important people in his life. They sit him down, and they convince him that he's lost it, and that he needs help, and that for 15 years he's been driving this franchise into the mud. And I seriously think he needs an intervention, but you know what?
They're all going to have to take a swing at him because he's going to take a swing at them.
Well, that's how it goes, an intervention.
Do they? I hadn't watched it.
Oh, it's a great show. And they'll come in, and Jeff Van Vonderen will say, these are the people that care about you, they really love you, but they think you've got a problem.
Jeff Van Vonderen.
And then the guy always gets up and runs out. And Jerry will get up and run out, but Steven, because he's big, he'll be the one that goes to the door and blocks it and takes Jerry back.
Says, Jerry, we already have a suitcase ready. You don't have to do anything. Right. Just get in the SUV right now.
Where are you going to put him? Back in Arkansas in the duck blind?
Well, no. You say he can still be a part of it. Jerry, we'll let you still be the owner.
You can still watch the games on TV.
But you keep him away from football.
Keep him away from the sidelines. Keep him away from the coach. Let the coach coach. You say in the intervention, Jerry, you hired the coach to do what? To coach. So you let him coach. And you go through it like that, you know, position by position in the organization and all of that. He seriously needs an intervention. The problem is he is surrounded by yes people, and that no one will stand up to Jerry. I think Steven does a bit, but in the end, that's still his dad.
Yeah.
And there is nobody, because Jerry has surrounded himself with Joneses in the organization and nothing but yes men and people who are just, you know, happy to have a job in the NFL or at a certain level in the NFL, no one can stand up to him, and no one can tell him he desperately needs to change his ways. That intervention will never happen, but it's the only hope for Cowboys fans.
It is. And here's the thing that really sickens me as the longtime Cowboy fan, because that's the other thing. You know, we look at it as to try to analyze something, try to, you know, throw out an opinion of something that we see. We're talk show hosts. But I'm a fan. I mean, this is my team. I've always been a Cowboys fan. And the thing that bugs me more than anything, throughout the Landry years, through the Jimmy years, you could always fall back on the fact that you had a great organization. It's not a great organization anymore.
No.
It's a great brand.
Mm-hmm.
They got a great stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But don't try to pass this off as a great organization. It's not a great organization anymore. Great organizations don't go, we're now working on two decades without any sort of significant playoff success. You know, no significant championship run, or where you at least win a division title for 3 or 4 years in a row. This team can't even do that. They're no better than any other organization in the league.
No.
Outside of stadium.
And uniforms. They got great uniforms.
Great unis, yeah, great brand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gear still looks good in the shop. I saw the old logo at Tyler's yesterday. I said, man, that's really good-looking stuff. But the organization is not great anymore. And it's and the sad thing is, in Jerry's crazy mind, I still think he thinks that, oh, yeah, we're still the model of the league.
But the fans tell him that. In every other organization, when it falls down, everything else falls down. Ticket sales fall,
yeah.
Merchandise sales fall, interest falls. None of those things happen with the Cowboys.
Well, if you're a season ticket holder, you're locked in because of the whole PSL thing.
But you can't
get out of it.
But nothing happens. The TV ratings continue to be sky high for Cowboy games. They sell a ton of merchandise. Nothing tells him anything is wrong.
It's because the brand is so strong.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The brand is so strong, and that's the only thing outside of an intervention that I think would make Jerry see things differently, is if all of a sudden the Death Star had 45,000.
Yeah.
For, and not just one game, but about 4 or 5 games a year, and the Cowboys had a few blackouts. Then I think someone could go to him and say, Jerry, look, we've got to change the way we've been doing things since Jimmy left, or since Parcells left.
But you and I both know that's not going to happen. The Death Star is never going to be half full.
No.
And we all know an intervention, a much-needed intervention, isn't going to happen. And I hate to say this because it's dark, but no, the Cowboys' only hope...
Here comes that last breath thing again. Mm.
The Cowboys' only hope is when part of Stephen's weekly duties include a trip to a Highland Park gravestone where he will place flowers every week. God. That is the Cowboys' only hope.
I know.
And it's sad, but it's true. And it's
it is sad, but it is true.
And that's the thing. If you are a Cowboy fan, and someone jumped on me by email and said, yeah, you're not a Cowboy season ticket holder. My question is, why would you be? Why would you invest all that money? Because you know the outcome. The outcome is going to be what we've seen the last 16 or 17 years. 6-10, 8-8, maybe 9-7. Maybe you do lightning in a bottle 1 year, 10-6, mm-hmm. and you're out in the first round. But nothing great.
No. And you mentioned Al Davis, and his legacy is going to be what Al Davis's was. You know, when Al Davis died, we all talked about, boy, he was greatness in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and then he really fell apart in the 90s. And we'll all say that about Jerry. Boy, he really turned this place upside down and mm-hmm. brought in a great coach and won Super Bowls, but then he got really crazy and really lost and couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same thing. All right, a couple quick calls on Jerry to Sean and Carrollton. You're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Yeah. I was just trying to say that what Jerry does is his ego takes over so much that he hears exactly what he wants to hear. He heard that Jason needs some help, so he's going to go down to the sideline and help Jason out. That's all he's going to do.
The point, and I guess some of this may go back to Jason Garrett. He shouldn't need that sort of help. You know, and if he wants to keep playing with his frontline players, then let him keep playing with his frontline players.
But
he
did
is
he
the coach?
Okay, but that's my question. Maybe I missed this.
Mm-hmm.
Did Garrett say his plan was to play Romo and Felix the whole game, and Jerry changed his mind?
Or
I just assumed that Garrett knew what he was doing. That when Romo is hurt and the game means nothing, that you're not going to put Romo back in. Or when he finds out during the game, it didn't seem like it was a message that needed to be conveyed, and the image was awful.
Yeah.
Of Jerry being on the sideline telling his puppet coach how to coach. That's what it screamed to the world. And then afterwards they try to act like, no, that's the normal course of events during an NFL game. Are you kidding me?
No, it's not. Nothing around here is normal. No one else has run like this. Because Al Davis is no longer here. Who else? There's not another team that's run like this. Mm-mm. Owner, GM?
No.
No one else does this because, A, there's no one quite like Jerry. And in some respects, that can be a good thing. You know, Jerry dreams big. That's what's giving you that great stadium out there. He had a vision about Jimmy here. That worked out pretty well. The Parcells thing was a pretty good idea. But I'm telling you, it's going to take that 3 years of 5-11 again. And you know, 8-8, Cowboy fans are disappointed, but they're not ready to riot. 3 straight years of 5-11. Well, getting back on the thing of, well, maybe I should bring a Bill Cowher in here or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll go back into that. But even when Parcells...
And that'll only work for a point.
Yeah. You know,
to a point, because Jerry will get tired of that powerful coach getting all the attention.
And even the Parcells thing was strange, because there were some that were convinced that Parcells was here just to build up his bank account so he could really make Saratoga a sweet getaway.
Mm-hmm. Which he did.
And I think he did make some concessions there. Okay, Jerry, you want to sign Terrell Owens? I'll go along with that. And he didn't have just total control here. But it's going to take that for you to get close to anything. And I'm afraid that, I would take 8-8 next year based on what we've been seeing here these last few years. I'm afraid they're headed for something else.
So to sum it up, owner on the sideline babysitting head coach, most ludicrous thing I've ever seen in our 18 years here out of an owner. And what is necessary for Jerry? Intervention. On A&E, his family with the A&E crew, and that's the only hope that the Cowboys have. And that's a sad state of affairs. That would be Jerry when it finally dawned on him that yes, he's been doing it incorrectly for 15, 20 years, and that all these people do care about him, and that in the end, everybody just wants Dallas to win. That's when it would all just bust loose. It'd be a great moment. It'd be great television. 8:30.